So I'd like to introduce our presenters this evening, Marion and Bruno, and you can read all about their bios in the email that was sent to you about this forum, or you can read about them on the FDCW website. So I'd just like to say that they both have vast experience and both the 16 guidelines and universal education in particular, and on this subject. So without further ado, I'd like to hand over to Marion. Thank you, Marion.
Thank you, Wendy. And good evening to everybody. The title of this forum is to talk about death and dying. So I wanted to just begin and open this. Thank you for that settling practice, Wendy, because that really settles us into a space together so that we have that. And maybe we can bring to mind the topic of our discussion tonight. So I wanted to first just read a quote, which I think is quite pertinent to our reflecting on universal education's deliveries and ways of delivering, talking about death and working with death. So here's the quote. Death is unpredictable. We don't know when or how it will take place. So it is only sensible to take certain precautions before it happens. So this was my intention, was to take those certain precautions and share them with others. Since this is a forum for facilitators, I thought the first part of this forum tonight might be interesting to talk about how we work in designing, developing a course, which is what I did 2 years ago for the 16 guidelines get together that we had at Vajra Yogini Center in France. I've been interested in death since I was a small child. I think many of us reflect on it regularly, and probably many of you here tonight have worked a lot with death, and perhaps not so much. But I think as practitioners and facilitators, it's something surely that comes up for us both in our work and in our personal life. So I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about how we can create materials and maybe even courses that are what we would call inspired by. They may not be official FDCW courses, but when we want to deliver something that's in our heart to deliver, or we have a particular audience who's requesting it, then it's interesting to look at. I can share how I went about designing and reflecting on how to do that, how to develop that course. And then in the second part of my little bit of talking here tonight, I'll share some of the slides, which will give you a sense of how that was actually, how it manifested as a course. So the first thing I did was how to start, because it's quite a big subject. Any subject probably seems vast when we have to bring it together, to perhaps consolidate it into a few hours of delivery. In my case, I had 12 hours to deliver, which was quite comfortable, so 4 sessions of 3 hours. But the first thing I did was I really sat down and reflected, and even actually did an inquiry, one of the tools that we use in the 16 guidelines and other universal education programs. Probably most of you are familiar with the inquiry, but I asked myself, who is my audience? And what is important? What do they need? So I really repeatedly asked myself that and wrote down the answers. So I started to see a picture of who the people, in a sense, who I was working with. That gave me my initial focus. Of course, you could change your audience after a while, but you can adapt that course. But it's good to have an objective of who the people are that you really are working, creating this for. I really was very careful to consider, but that almost is built into me now after so many years of working with courses and universal education, but to really look at the universal education pedagogy, methodologies, and source materials, looking at what the Lama Zopa and Lama Yeshe have spoken, what other respected members of the organization have done, just to make sure that the source materials are addressed. I also think it's very important when we're starting to create a course, whatever the topic, to remember learning styles, that people have different ways of learning and different ways of accommodating understanding. So I like to be sure that that's met, and also to include some creative expression. That's, you know, some art, some kind of something which allows us to be creative in our connection with the topic. So first, you know, I did the research, and that's what I think anyone who'd like to work with this kind of materials and produce something will do. You have the books, you read the books, you make the notes, you hunt for videos, you hunt for quotes, you look for science materials, and you really think about different cultures. That's what I did. I really worked on how I could bring materials from cultures, from traditions. I bought songs from Latin America, beautiful songs that I had heard once, or something that someone told me about. So I really wanted to draw together different cultures and make it very universal. Of course, always to look at the science and the science research, because we want to substantiate whatever we're asserting in other ways. I looked at psychologists, physicists, cosmologists in this case, to see what I could show to substantiate what I was working with and the topics, and to underline them and to support them with the roots, if you like, of our materials. I also found that I thought it was quite interesting to search, and I did find one academic theory to underpin the proposition. It was a schematic which explained the process of life and death. I won't share it with you because it's quite complex, but I think it's really helpful to have some visual, non-verbal learning that people can understand in different ways, again, in this sense of different ways of different learning styles. One of the things I had thought about using but didn't was the wheel of life and death, which in the Buddhist cosmology shows the round that we go through. I'm sure most of you are familiar with it, showing from birth, old age, and death, and so around. I also reflected on my own experience, my own personal experience, and understanding the sources that they came from. Since a quite young child, I read a lot of books on death. So, you know, whatever our main topic, something that really speaks to us, then we usually have quite a lot of personal understanding and information that we can share. So I wanted to just share with you the course objectives, which I use in talking about death, because as we know, death is one of those subjects that could be either taboo, or it could be sort of, I think, swept under the carpet in a lot of Western cultures, where we tend to either try to keep it away by staying young, or just simply ignore it and with some trepidation. Just, you know, somehow we always believe, as we know, from if we are Dharma students, or probably students of any spiritual culture, that we will die, that's for sure, even though in many cases we don't, most often, don't remind ourselves or really believe it deep inside ourselves. I think to talk about death is to bring up the topic. We need to be very empathetic to the place where the people are who are going to join the course. So one of the first things I was very careful to do was to really get a sense of where people were coming from, who were at the course, the group. And so we talked about precious human life, and that's a very good, it seemed like a very helpful place to start. I made some objectives for the course, and I think these might be helpful in understanding what I felt was important for us to work through in those 12 hours. Sorry. The course objectives. The first one was to discover and uncover, to reveal an appreciation for the potential of human life and its most profound meaning. So that was to take people into life. We didn't jump right into death, but started with our lives. And to discover, the second one was to discover our capacity to confront and transform our fears, cultural taboos, and our relationship with death. So transforming emotions was obviously part of the root Buddhist material that I would be accessing in order to work with that particular objective. The next objective was to deepen our understanding and confidence and in approaching impermanence and death. So understanding and confidence. So we would work with tools and with knowledge base. So growing a gentle wisdom amongst the participants about impermanence. Because that's, of course, as we all know, a very close step, which we experience all the time. The next course objective was to discover and deepen an appreciation and capacity to connect authentically to ourselves, to others, and the environment. In doing that, the root Dharma topic that I was using was compassion and interdependence. So developing interdependence and compassion for ourselves and others, we enter into this experience of death more comfortably and preparing for death. And then the last of my course objectives was to leave with tools so that the participants would leave with tools to enable them to continue their exploration of an impermanence and death. So that is very important in our universal education methodologies, is to allow people to leave with support and a sense of going forward in their everyday lives with additional materials and assistance than perhaps they would have had before they came. I'd like to share with you before we're going to look at a few slides after this, but first I wanted to share with you just some of the most critical, I think, or most important topics that whenever we're thinking about designing an inspired by course or not necessarily universal education, but in this case, yes. These were the topics that I feel I may have missed some, and please forgive me if I do, but the motivation, settling, but motivation is very important to address in any course. The work we do, as you know, is in pairs, in small groups, in full groups, in debriefs, the conversations, really drawing, allowing participants to connect and draw out their own wisdom, to share. It's very important part of the universal education methodology. Allowing time for reflections and mindfulness, and underscoring the value and the basic support that mindfulness gives us, and allowing time for creative expression. And there's also look at guidelines. I know that 16 guidelines isn't necessarily all of universal education, but there are many ways that we can use guidelines. In this case, I used what Lama Zopa talked about as the seven that I'll talk to you about those later, but I felt that those were going to be helpful in connection to studying this topic. All right. So this is really, I thought if I shared a few of the slides from the course that we did, remembering it was a 12 hours, it would give you a sense of how we worked with death. In terms of a group, I think there were 15 of us, of people who were all familiar already with universal education methodologies and basic ways of working. So this was the first one of the early slides. Each breath is a birth, each breath is a death. And I like to personally use quotes from different sources, because to bring as many interesting voices into the room as we can, it seems like a very helpful way of expanding people's understanding and familiarity with it. It's as natural to die as to be born. So just the sense of comfort, of naturalness, that we are all going to do this, and it's going to be inevitable. So then there was the group discussions, which we just mentioned. There was, death is not the enemy. The enemy is ignorance and lovelessness. Death is as necessary for man's growth as life is. I asked people to read these, and then in groups, in small groups, they chose one of these to discuss and come back to. Remembering you're going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. I think it's helpful to take a look, as we do in universal education, from all angles. So this was my hope in these discussion topics, and that was very rich. So here are the seven that I can't read the top. Can you read the top, Wendy? Can you see it? Because I've got people over on top.
It's got look at situation from all angles and you'll become more open.
Thank you. That's his Dalai Lama. And so when we look at situations from all angles, as we can by using the different qualities, as they're called, the seven qualities, which Lama Zopa proposed that we use, that were extracted in some way or from the 16 guidelines, but we did add forgiveness, apologizing. And that to me seemed like a very healthy seven qualities to introduce in relationship to dying, and that we might consider these. And we used each one of these in a different circumstances during the days. We did use inquiries, and as you can see, this was one of our first inquiries, and we considered what is precious human life. And the second inquiry, I'm sure most of you are familiar with inquiries, what is your human life, why is your human life precious? So these were very rich again, and many people really came and found that very helpful. This was what we did. Every at the end of each of the four sessions that we had together, we had a 15-20 minute time at the end where we each created a mask. It was a very rich experience, and it was a way for people to, it wasn't a death mask, although some people started calling it that. Each day we had a next step to do on our mask. We started with a balloon, lots of newspaper and glue, and we finished up with a beautiful masks, and the ultimate use of the masks became dancing to a wonderful Mexican death dance. At the end, we all put our masks on, had this wonderful dance and hugging, and just it was very delightful and lighthearted. Of course, talking about lighthearted, we really, when we're looking at death, we have to recognize, and the death of others, that grief is a deep quality. But again, I try to seek out quotations and I sent a sense of idea of direction which is positive or supportive or useful. So the grief can have a quality of profound healing because we go to a deeper level, a threshold of our awareness. Stephen Levine, when we're talking, and I would highly recommend you looking at his books if you're interested or even just wanting to go further considering the topic. Again, we brought mind into it and understood that our mind was the most critical factor in how we viewed, thought and felt and related to death. There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so, good old Will. And life is not in itself heavenly or hellish. These are the mind's conditions, its openness or closeness to events. And again, Stephen Levine, these were separated by quite a distance in the actual course, but he's just a wonderful source of inspiration when you're working with these topics, that I found his words very helpful. And then again, I really brought in quite a lot of different representations from different traditions. And we worked really, after we worked with the mind and understanding how mind can be a helper or maybe a challenge, we worked with how taking it into the heart. So this was a symbol which I felt really worked very well there, and it brought in a different tradition. When the holding mind sinks into the spacious heart. So we worked with loving kindness for ourselves and for others. And then the journey, because the topic of my original course was it was in encountering death, finding life, you know, encountering life. So a journey to death is a journey through life. I mean, however long or short our life is, the end point is our death in this environment, in this particular reincarnation, although I would not use that in that language, probably in a course. So and I just wanted to share these, especially for facilitators who are working with a no inquiry and a pre-frame. I used the seven qualities. I asked an inquiry question. So in pairs, people were asked to ask a question: how do you need to be on this journey, the journey through life? And then they would reframe with one of the qualities, which really worked well. So they would ask that person, how can this quality support you in that journey? So I think that really, really worked well. And it's a very technique that you might want to try. I just wanted to read you a quote from someone who came to the course, and that then we'll finish. Both feelings and relationships have changed. I asked him, how have things changed for you? Death is more present as a constant companion. More familiarity with my certain death helps me to face the vicissitudes that life serves up, gives me a better handle on personal dissatisfaction, and motivates me to be my best, to prosper using my innate qualities. I consider that my doing more mindfulness practice has really helped integrate death into my daily life. That feedback was really good, because it came right back to the objectives of the course. It really helped to round it out. So thank you very much.